Would you pray with me before we open up God's Word this morning? Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this time to be able to be here and to have the freedom to be here and to worship you in this place. Help us, Lord God, to remember that we are in your arms. Help us to trust you in all that we do. This morning, Heavenly Father, as we begin to study this idea of hope, this gift of hope that is offered to us from God, may you speak into our lives. May you show us in new ways the hope that you offer. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I have to say, I love it when there are coincidences in life sometimes. And the coincidence that I saw this morning was the fact that we're decorated for Christmas, and it also helps us celebrate the win of Ohio State last night with the gray and red. That had nothing to do with me, but the gray and red, just wonderful. Ohio State won last night, if you didn't know. So we are going to be talking this morning about hope. And I want to share with you a story. I don't know the exact time frame of when this was published. It was in the Chicago Tribune. So it was several years back, I can tell you that. I'm just going to share some excerpts from the story. It says this: about all that he could do after tumbling into the ocean from the deck of his aircraft carrier was watch in horror as the 81,000-ton vessel receded into the darkness, leaving him alone in the vastness of the Arabian Sea. Last weekend, Lance Corporal Mayo, 20 years old, the only child of an Idaho person, silver miner, kept his cool, inflated his uniform into a life preserver, and floated for 2 days and two nights until he was picked up by a Pakistani fishing boat. Mayo's extraordinary passage began early Saturday morning. An aviation maintenance expert assigned to a Marine Air Squadron aboard the USS America. He had left his berth to get some fresh air. Mayo said a door either blew open or was pushed open and knocked him over the side. Mayo said he treaded water until he got his uniform off, and then following Marine survival techniques, he fashioned a crude life preservation device from his clothing. He tied knots in the legs and arms and swished them in the air and made a kind of a balloon out of them. He continued to tread water, and he waited. Meanwhile, back on the carrier, Mayo was discovered missing at 7 a.m. the next morning. A search was first conducted aboard the carrier, and when they didn't come up with anything, they presumed that he had fallen overboard. Four helicopters, two of the Americans' escort vessels were sent to retrace the ship's overnight path. Gordon said the search was hampered because no one knew exactly when Mayo had fallen. But after 36 hours of floating and treading water, Mayo was picked up by a fishing vessel. Just imagine with me for a moment, and I don't think we can even come close to comprehending what that 36 hours would have looked like for this guy. Right? At first, there might have been hope that somebody saw him when he actually fell over the side of the boat. But then as that vessel is going into the darkness and disappearing, that hope disappears along with the vessel. And then he begins to tread water, and maybe there's some hope that, okay, I can do this for a while, and they'll surely notice that I'm gone and make their way back, but that doesn't happen. So the hope is there, and the hope is gone again. And then there had to be, as waves would come in, there had to be moments of hope that, okay, I can survive the next wave. But then they kept coming and coming and coming and coming. And there had to be this crash of no hope. At the end of this story, it says this. It says, the elder Mayo, which is his father, says this: it was quite an ordeal. But we believed that God would take care of him. And with the help of God, he made it. This morning, we're talking about hope. One that is a constant hope. It's always available to those who believe in Jesus. As followers of Christ, if we truly believe that God is with us, then it should shape our perspective on life. It should shape how we live our lives. At this time of the year, in the Advent season, we often focus on several of the gifts that God has given to us. And this morning, we're focusing in on this gift of hope. I want you to turn with me to the book of Matthew this morning. We're going to Matthew chapter 1. It's going to be page 681 if you're using one of the pew Bibles or chair Bibles. This morning we're going to look at the hope that was given to us some 2,000 years ago through the birth of Jesus. And this tells just a little glimpse of that story. Starting at verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son that they will call Emmanuel," which means God with us. I want to just highlight, and we're going to see on the screen, two different verses. Verse 21 says, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins." That's the hope that we're talking about today. It's not a hope that is wishy-washy depending on whether the waves are coming in or whether the boat's disappearing. It's a hope that's constant because it is only dependent on us asking Christ into our lives. And then we have this hope of freedom from our sin. And then in verse 23, it says, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. Again, that hope, God is with us. When we make that decision to ask Christ into our lives, God is with us. In this first week of Advent, I want to share some thoughts on the gift of hope that is associated with the birth of Jesus. The name Jesus, it means the Lord saves. The Lord saves. It's through the birth of Jesus that God offers the greatest gift, the gift of salvation. The Bible makes it really clear that people without Jesus are living broken lives with dire consequences. And that's the reality of life. We have a choice to make in our lives, and it's a choice to follow Christ or not to follow Christ. If we choose to follow Christ, there is this hope that is a part of our lives. But if we choose not to follow Christ, we have to recognize that there are dire consequences to that choice. Paul does a great job, I think, of explaining this to the Jewish Christians in Rome. We've talked about this actually several times in the last couple months. I want to just remind us of it, and it comes from the book of Romans. And in Romans chapter 3, Paul writes this. He says, "But now a righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify." And then it goes on to say, it says, "This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory, the praise of God. In the book of Romans, Paul is explaining the role of Christ, the role of salvation, and that process to them. He begins by reminding the Jews and everybody else, the Gentiles and the Jews, that every one of them has missed the mark, that they've all sinned and fallen short of earning enough credit to earn God's praise for being righteous enough to atone for their own sins. It doesn't matter whether the person is Jewish or not, Paul says. And unfortunately for everybody, Paul goes on. And in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, he starts out by saying, "For the wages of sin is death." Wages of sin is death. That's what every person will get if they get what they deserve, what they've earned. And what one earns from sin is death, or the opposite of eternal life. Paul says that sin deserves to be punished. There are consequences to sinful thoughts and sinful behaviors that are a part of our lives. Sin comes between us and our relationship with God. It hurts that relationship. It disappoints God to see sin in our lives. It's no different than any other human relationship that we have. If you have a relationship with your spouse or a friend or whoever it is, a parent and child relationship, if there's something that's disappointing that happens within that relationship, it can hurt that relationship in that moment, in that time. And that's what Paul is saying happens here when we allow sin into our lives. It gets between us and God. It affects every area of our lives when we don't deal with it. But thankfully, the story doesn't end there. Romans 6:23, it goes on, and it says in the second half, it says, "The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord." That's where the hope is. Paul goes on a couple chapters later in the book of Romans and tells us about the hope that we're offered through Jesus Christ in this way. In Romans 10, chapter 13, he says, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Everyone. Anybody, no matter what the history is, no matter what baggage we bring to the table, does not matter. Everybody that calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. God with us brings hope. God with us brings hope. Let me reread to you from Romans chapter 3 that we read earlier, just to refresh our memories. It says this in verse 21 and 22. It says, "But now a righteousness from God apart from law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe." You know what that means? That means that everyone who trusts Jesus to make them righteous with God, acceptable to God, will be made righteous and therefore recipients of eternal life with God. God with us brings hope. There's hope is one of those incredible blessings that we celebrate during the Advent season. It's the gift of hope that we find and we picture when we see the manger. The idea of hope that is born into that manger. Because of God's gift through Christ, I have hope for my future. Because of God's gift of life, you have hope for the future. An unwavering hope, a continual hope Not a hope that changes with each wave that we go through in life. I think that hope sometimes can be kind of difficult to unpack and to unravel. And I want to suggest this morning that there's kind of two types of hope. The one hope is this. The first is the kind of hope that is superficial. The hope that is more like wishful thinking with no particular reason for expecting something to really happen. It is it's hope to win the lottery, right? It's hope that you might get a bonus this year from your employer. It's hope that he or she will like me if you're wanting to get into a relationship. It's hope that we can just make this work, whatever this is. This hope, it lacks a certainty. This hope lacks a reliability. It's wishful thinking hope. The second kind of hope looks forward to something with a confidence that it will turn out the way that it is supposed to. This is a hope that empowers somebody to endure or to go the distance no matter what comes their way. They stay on track. They stay focused. They stay on the path that God has in mind for them. That's the kind of hope that we're talking about. It's the kind of hope that impacts the way people make decisions in their lives. This is the kind of hope that we should have as a result of the birth of Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, the author says this. It says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." You promise us faith. My hope in Jesus is secure and solid because it rests on the bedrock of God's faithfulness and therefore should impact the way I live my life. Now, many of you, if you've been here over the course of the last 9 years or so that I've been here, you've heard in the past that as a child at Christmas time, I had a little bit of a problem with being patient till Christmas morning. So as mom and dad would go out shopping in the months of October, November, December, early December, and they would get gifts, they would come home and hide them like we do as parents, and they would hide them as horribly probably as we hide the gifts that we purchase for our kids. As a child that was not patient, I would go and find those gifts when they were not in the house. And if they were unwrapped, I would pick up those gifts, I would look at those gifts. Sometimes I would take them out of the box and use those gifts and then return them to their new-like state back into their boxes and under the bed, which is a great hiding spot. And mom and dad were none the wiser, right? There were other gifts at our house as well. And sometimes those gifts had already made it from under the bed to being wrapped, and I hadn't discovered them before that. So then I had one of two options at that point. So the first option is to just gently unwrap it. All you got to do usually is open up one end of it, and you can slide the box out, and you take a look at it, do whatever you want, slide it back in, tape it back up, it's all good. I did that successfully all the times but one, and the one time I did not succeed at it, my aunt caught me and was in tears as a result of it, and we did not live that down as myself and my two brothers. We got in a lot of trouble for that one, but it's okay. The second thing that can happen in that situation of the wrapped gift is that we can find it or see it under the tree. Perhaps it was already placed under the tree. We can pick it up. We can kind of feel its shape. We can shake it a little bit gently. See what it sounds like. Maybe there's an odor to it or a smell to it. You smell it. You use your senses to try to figure out what that gift is, right? Now, obviously, when I would pre-unwrap my gifts to discover them prior to being wrapped, I knew what was coming and I was looking forward to Christmas morning and actually getting to use them that day. The gifts that were wrapped and I just work at identifying them through senses, through touch, through sounds, through smells, they made me anticipate Christmas morning as well. so I could be certain of what was inside of them in my mind, but not know for 100% sure until Christmas morning. And on Christmas morning, I would experience them. I'd open them up and experience whatever was inside that package. Here's the point. I was already enjoying the pleasures of a future event when I found those wrapped gifts under the tree and began to try to figure out what they were. The unwrapping of the unknown gifts. I was already enjoying the pleasures of it. They had my name on them, those gifts. I knew it was mine. My parents had these little cards on them. It said Dustin. I felt like I knew what they were. I was pretty good at it. The gifts were mine, but would not be handed over to me until Christmas morning to open them and to experience them fully. And then I would see with my own eyes what earlier I had only seen with my heart. Right? I'd only guessed in my mind. Christmas means that Christ has given us the gift of eternity. At this point in our lives, in our journey, it's still a wrapped gift. But the package has our name on it. Has your name on it. We know what awaits us. It's ours. We would never have received the gift if it were not for God, His generosity in offering us hope through the birth of Jesus Christ. Nonetheless, we wait longingly for the day when we will enjoy the gift of heaven in all of its unwrapped wonder. There's a lot of great gifts and great deals that are out there during this season of the year. If you haven't started your Christmas shopping, and if you're going to be doing that this year, get on out there. There's all kinds of deals. Rachel and I have been out there, and we've seen a lot of these great deals. And you can find great deals on pretty much everything. From clothing, to electronics, to jewelry, toys, you name it. People are buying it. Right? I just saw that this year, it is predicted that in the month of November and December, you know how much money is going to be spent in the United States of America on gifts? Between $717 or $720 billion. Right? People are buying it. We must realize that none of these things that contribute towards that $700 billion compare to the gift of hope that God offers to Jesus through Jesus. There are a lot of people who are going to wake up on Christmas morning and there's going to be some great gifts under that tree. But they are not nearly as important, as wonderful, as the hope that we can receive through Christ. And if that gift is the only thing that excites them about Christmas, they're missing out on the real meaning of Christmas. They're missing out on the real gift that God has for us this Christmas season. They're missing out on the receiving of this great gift of hope that God offers to us. We have choices to make in our lives and how we think about this season and how we prepare for December 25th when we celebrate Christmas morning. We have choices to make. We have choices of focusing in on fashion or forgiveness, electronics, eternal life, material things, or heavenly things. We have the choice that we need to make. What's the point of Christmas? The point is that God with us brings hope to us. Writing to his disciple Titus, Paul says this in he says, "A servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ for the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness. A faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time." God with us brings great hope through Christ. What a gift that we've all been offered to start this season off with. The gift of a hopeful future. The gift of eternity with God. As you begin anticipating this season, these next 3 or 4 weeks leading up to Christmas, be sure to take time to thank God for the hope that you have received because of the birth of Jesus Christ. Be sure to take time to focus in beyond just the gifts that are under the tree or under the beds or wherever you hide yours. Be sure to take time to focus in on what we all would say is the meaning of Christmas. I think sometimes it's just lip service to us. Be sure to actually take time and give praise to God and acknowledge what God has given to us. If you don't know Jesus and you haven't received that hope, I would encourage you to consider doing that. To consider making that decision of saying, you know what, I want this hope that God promises. And Jesus makes this so simple for us. He simply tells us that we have to confess with our mouths that we have sinned and that we need Him. Because He's paid the penalty for those sins for us. So all we need to do is confess that with our mouth, and then we need to say, I want Jesus to be the center of my life. And if you have never done that, or if you've done that, but you've fallen away from that relationship with Christ, I'm going to encourage you this morning to pray along with me in just a moment. And to make this a Christmas like no other, perhaps. Maybe it's a Christmas of getting back where you need to be in your relationship with God, or maybe it's a Christmas where it's going to be the first one that you celebrate the real meaning, the gift of hope that comes from Christmas. Let's pray together. Lord God, this season of the year is a wonderful time of celebration for those that know You as their Lord and Savior. I would pray that, Lord God, that we would not get too hung up in the materialism of this season. That sure, it is great to offer gifts and to love on people and to share things with people and to bless people, and that's all good stuff. But Lord God, help our focus to remain on Jesus Christ coming to this earth. And today, as we've talked about, the hope that that brings to us. Father God, there are some here today probably that have never made that decision, or they've made that decision to follow You, to receive that hope, but it's not been real in these last recent days, weeks, months, years. I just encourage you to pray along with me if you fall into that category this morning. Lord God, I would pray that You would forgive me for my sins, that You would come into my life, that You would make me whole, that You would be my Savior because I need You, because You are the hope that I need in my life. If you prayed that prayer, you can be assured that Jesus has done just that. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.